We will have our first scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 to 13, and then we'll pray. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 to 13. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any man's this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together to pray for the same things. Lord, and that we're all in agreement over what your word says, Father, and the importance of following your word, Lord, and understanding it. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to understand the things that you teach us out of your word. So, Father, we pray that we would learn more of you this evening and that we would be encouraged by what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Loved ones, tonight's message is also a testimony that I want to share with you. We'll get to the circumstances that make it personally relevant, but first we'll just talk about the verses that we just read. So these verses in Corinthians were addressed to the church in Corinth, as penned by the Apostle Paul. His epistles to this church are full of troubleshooting. The Corinthians struggled as new Christians with keeping their testimony in a city that was rife with paganism, idolatry and sin. The practice of the day among the pagan Greeks was to sell meat that had been consecrated, that is sacrificed, to idols, to their many false gods. They sold this meat in public markets, so they made it available to the new saints. This was no trivial thing in the eyes of Paul the Apostle. It had been dealt with in the Syrian church at Antioch, where the Jerusalem Council, which was many of the early church elders and apostles, declared that total abstinence from these meats, these foods, was necessary because although legalism had proven to be a stumbling block, rules about food, the new believers there needed some hard and fast rules to help guard their conscience. We can read about this in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 to 29. If you'll turn with me there. So this is speaking about an epistle that was sent to that church. So that's Acts 15, verse 22. Then pleased that the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. These are Jews who are trying to force the law on these believers. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. The main concern with eating this meat, the meat offered to idols, was that it caused division in the church. The Antioch church was made up of both Jews and Gentiles. The converted Jewish members were sensitive about anything associated with idol worship because of the law. They'd been brought up to be careful about what they ate. So particularly if it came to anything to do with unclean food. We all know of Peter's reluctance, for instance, to eat unclean food on the rooftop because they were forbidden by the Jewish law. This was symbolic also of Peter's reluctance to spend time to mix with Gentile believers, even though God had declared them clean. God, through this example, made it clear that unity and love was more important in his church over any personal convictions regarding food. This also applies to our liberty in Christ. It must never take precedence over another believer's spiritual well-being. That was the reason why Paul deemed it so important to explain in 1 Corinthians that although all food is fit to eat for the Christian, we must be sensitive of another's conscience, because it is not food that can be tainted, but the conscience. Romans 14:11-23 also further expresses this. Paul spends some time explaining the importance at length of considering another brother's conscience. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, that is in love. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offence. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin." Our conscience and convictions are given to us of God, and we ignore them at our peril. The terrible thing is that if we cause another believer to stumble, if we tempt them to sin by not being mindful of their weak conscience, we are sinning ourselves. And we commit the sin of temptation, which the devil busies himself with, by inspiring the wicked lifestyles of the unbeliever. That's how the devil works, is that he uses people in the world to try and cause the Christian to sin. So the first reason to abstain from eating food sacrificed to idols is love for the brethren. The second reason is laid out in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 25 to 33. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verses 25. "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles," that is the market, "that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered and sacrificed unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is the second reason we must be wary of eating food offered to idols, is because we must preserve our testimony before unbelievers, who will consider it a compromise on idolatry if a Christian partakes of food which was explicitly dedicated to idols. That is, it has been made clear through conversation or some other means that the food is part of the worship of some other god, and the Christian eats it with that knowledge before the infidel. Loved ones, the world is watching and passing judgment. I say that this message is a testimony because recently we had this experience. As a parent and head of my family, I did not go far enough in being vigilant against this test of our convictions. Easter has been preached against time and time again in this church from this pulpit, and Kirsty and I were convicted that it is indeed an evil celebration of the world, and therefore we would not be glorifying God if we participated in it. We don't wish people happy Easter or give eggs or anything of that nature. However, I confess to you that we failed to see at the time that even accepting Easter chocolates from family members after telling them we don't celebrate it was equivalent to the scenario that Paul described in 1 Corinthians 10. Although we know that chocolate is just chocolate and cannot defile us, we did not consider that Easter chocolate is meat offered to idols. It's exactly that. Meat in these verses literally means food in general. It became apparent as the Holy Spirit convicted me through God's word, through these very verses, that these family members have been affirmed in their pagan practices, which have zero connection to Jesus and the gospel, because we were not forceful enough in refusing food that would have hurt their conscience. We were not loving towards them. We looked to ourselves. We've thrown all these things out, all the books and things related to Easter that they gave to Emma, but the damage has been done. So, I don't say this to discourage you, but the Lord has shown me through His word that it is a living word, that He's spoken to me on this very issue, and He knows that I am a sinner and I fail at times to see the wiles of the enemy at work. I praise the Lord that He has shown me this and made it clear and given me the opportunity to repent. That this hazard to our testimony endures today makes it manifestly clear that the Bible is always relevant to the age we live in. There's no scriptures that were only meant for a time. We ought to heed all of its warnings. We'll close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our lives, thank you for our word and the way you speak to us through your word and your patience with us, Lord, that you're long-suffering to teach us. Father, we pray that we have ears to hear, and Lord, that we are vigilant in this world, Lord, to see that unbelievers are, Lord, children of Satan, that they need to be saved. Father, they don't know any better, but they are going to tempt us, Father. So we pray that we are wise and that we are always paying attention to what you're teaching us through your word. Lord, we pray that you bless our meeting tonight and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.